blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, and thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 384.
congregation, this afternoon we wish to read out of the Gospel according to John chapter 12, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 12, beginning with the 20th verse up to verse 33. 20 to 33. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, who art in heaven, and we upon this sin-cursed earth, and thou knowest all our hearts, then there is nothing that is to be found in us and that is good, but only to be found that which is evil, that is sinful, that is wicked, that is vain, and that is carnal. And we are called to examine ourselves. And we have no heart to do so. We have no wisdom to do so. And thou dost examine everyone in the judgment. And thou wilt find more than we know, and more than we have ever seen and ever felt. Lord, we need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. We need an eye to look with a true and saving faith for one moment upon thy dear Son. We need to be united unto Him. Then we are safe. Then we are hidden in that rock of refuge. Oh, that Thou would look upon us in this hour. When before us is spread that table that Thou hast commanded be done time and time again. A holy supper. Who is worthy? Lord, Thou knowest our unworthiness. That there is nothing that we can bring unto that table but emptiness from our side of all that is pleasing to Thee. Oh, it all lies in Thy dear Son, in His mediatorial work. Oh, could it please Thee to look upon us, Lord, in this hour, and favor us with a half of a crumb from that Master's table. Oh, that we may eat just a little bit. That we might have a little exercise. That it would not be all darkness. Thou knowest Thy church. My soul waits for Jehovah with more intense desire than watches for the morning to dawn of day aspire. But Thou dost stand behind our wall. Oh, could it please Thee in this hour to show Thyself a moment through the lattice upon and shine upon Thy own work that we may behold it, that it may be brought forth in the midst of us. Also unto those who say, O Lord, why hidest Thou Thy face from me? A deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy water spouts. All Thy billows are gone over me. But the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. Oh, and in the night His song shall be with me. Oh, could it please Thee so to bless us, even in this hour, with a favor that Thou showest and bearest unto all Thy people, especially to those who do say, no answer yet has brought relief. Remember us, O Lord, and Thou who hast finished that work upon that tree, and who hast humbled Thyself so deeply, and whose work has been ratified from above in Thy resurrection from the dead. Oh, dost Thou not sit on the right hand of power to give the application free and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners? Oh, that it may be experienced in our midst by both young and old, and that we would not be justly withheld from that blessing, that favor that Thou dost give unto Thy people. Oh, keep us from self-deceit, Put away our hypocrisy, our face in front of other people. Oh, that we might live this hour as in the sight of God, who seeth the inmost recesses of our hearts, before whom we will appear in that day of days, and that thou mayest make manifest what thou art doing within our congregation, if it could please thee, to look upon and to remember us in thy mercy. Give holy jealousy where it has never been. Oy, looking upon that people who have what I miss. Oh, could it please thee to give a new birth? Many, yea, all, because thou art a great God and doest great things, and hast all power given unto thee in heaven and in earth. Remember us in preaching and in the administration of this sacrament in this hour. Lord, thou knowest all that is within us, and thou knowest all the weakness of our body. Lord, strengthen us, that we may do our work in the midst of our flock, and that it may all redound to the honor and to the glory of thy most holy and worthy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1, 2, 3, and 5. Of Psalter 240. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 12 and thereof the 30th verse. John 12, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." So far, the words of our text. A voice from heaven. First, why it came. And second, what it declared. A voice from heaven. Why it came. And what it declared. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Is that congregation not a wonder that the Lord would do something for the sake of his creatures, especially after the fall, who had wandered away from him, who had rejected him, who had chosen his arch enemy instead of him? Is it ever a wonder that you say the Lord has done something for my sake? Does that break your heart? Does that ever break your heart? All what the Lord does for our sakes. And here we read that the Father speaks from heaven. And the Lord Jesus says that it is for your sakes. Does that profit us that the Lord speaks to us from heaven? Or do we disregard the word of the Lord that comes to us continually from heaven? The Lord Jesus is here speaking before the multitude. That is a mixed multitude. That is the same always in the church of God, where that voice of God is heard from heaven by means of the preaching of that word. And today, by the means also of the visible gospel that is set before us. It is a voice from heaven that the Lord gives not for his sake, but he says that he gives it for your sakes, and that is coming to everyone outwardly that may see, that may observe, and that may hear. Why does the Father speak audibly to his Son from heaven? He could have spoken in the ear of his Son, that no one else would have heard this voice. But it pleases the Father to do so. And why? That is for the help of faith. Because the Lord Jesus is dwelling in his humanity, in his state of his humiliation, where the divinity of the Lord Jesus is veiled so much, only little here and there can it be seen in miracles, in his gracious words and so on, so that there is no excuse, but it is in general veiled. And here the Father publicly owns his Son. And he owns the work of his Son. That is that work of redemption that he has embarked upon. Actually, it is the function of a seal upon the work of Christ, that work of redemption that the Father from heaven gives it his authority, that he says that this is not the work only of a man, but that this is something which comes from me myself, from heaven. That is the same with the Lord's Supper. That is not only a sign, but it is a seal, a great help to faith. Not to strong faith, no. But it is instituted that it may be an help to weak faith. That is, that the Lord says, I know the weakness of the faith that is living in the heart of the reprobate? No. No, that is living in the heart of my own people. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he institutes this. Thus, not from man, it is not instituted by the church, but it is instituted by God, by the Lord himself, and that is meant to be a great help for little faith. But the Lord Jesus is not only standing here before his disciples. He is standing here before a great multitude of people, and that is a mixed multitude. Thus, there are many who have no faith. There are even enemies there of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they also hear that voice. They hear that same voice from heaven as the disciples of the Lord. But they do not understand that voice. Some say it thundered. It thundered. Thus, their interpretation of that voice from heaven is purely natural. Natural. There's nothing supernatural in it. That is what we are by nature. Because we are dead. Because we are spiritually dead. And then a man looks at everything as if it is only natural. And then there are others we read that said, an angel spake unto him. That is a more religious interpretation. But it is no better. It is no closer to the truth. And they have all completely missed the right interpretation, but also the benefit of that voice from heaven. It is only one voice, and it is heard by all. And that same voice that is of great benefit for those disciples, the same voice that is to some a seal of the work of Christ, that is despised and rejected by many others who hear that same voice. Thus, only to testify against them when they have to appear before God on that last day. And why no faith? No faith? Because it is only faith, true faith, saving faith, that can recognize that voice from heaven that is able to receive profit from that voice from heaven. Otherwise, we do not receive it. It thundered. An angel spake unto him. A voice from heaven. Why it came? Why does it come? Well, there are so many questions in the hearts of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Are there questions also in your hearts? They are questions. They seem so often like contradictory things in the life that has begun in their soul, in the way that the Lord leads them from step to step. Then there are in their hearts so many questions. There are in their hearts so many riddles. Do you know what they need? They need a voice from heaven. Do you need that too? Today? Maybe you have come up this afternoon and you say, Lord, I need a voice from heaven. I need a voice from heaven. Because I have no answer to all the questions that are living in my heart. David said, O Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Do you say that too with David? Because you say, man can say it to me, that it is good, that it is well, there are fruits in your life and so on. Dangerous thing. But I cannot receive it. Or if I could only hear it from heaven, if the Lord would only speak unto my soul, if the Lord would only show it to me himself, do you believe that the Lord knows that you need a voice from heaven? Do you believe that? The Lord knew that his people needed a voice from heaven. Otherwise, he had not given it to them. And the Lord knows today when a man or a woman, child, oh, the Lord knows when you need a voice from heaven. The Lord makes his people upright. We are not upright. No one is upright. But the Lord makes his people upright. That they cannot receive it except that the Lord knows about it. And what the Lord knows about, the Lord also provides for. What does that voice from heaven say? What does it declare? That is our second thought. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What is that? That is actually an answer. It is an answer to what? It is an answer to a supplication. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. It is an answer to the supplication of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is the answer of God. It is the answer of his Father to whom that he prayed. You ever get an answer? You ever get an answer from heaven? you ever get an answer from heaven, from God to whom that you pray? Christ receives an answer. What does that mean? That means, congregation, that we need to be united to Him. To Him. Because He receives an answer from His Father. And when we are united to Him, then that answer that He receives is received also on our behalf. What does the Lord Jesus here ask? He says, Father, glorify thy name. Why does the Lord Jesus ask that? Father, glorify thy name. Well, it is the culmination actually of a great struggle. It is a struggle of his soul. The soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a true human soul, like unto you and I. And he struggled in his soul. That was part of the payment that he made. The sin of the church is not only in their body. Is your sin only in your body? Or do you have sin also in your soul? What is the greatest part of the sin of the church? That is the sin in their soul. Because it is not so hard outwardly before men to watch our steps. But our mind and our affections and our will. It is a world of iniquity. They do not want to talk too much about it because it is not edifying. What the sin is of the soul of God's people. And that sin of their soul is now the greatest burden that they do carry silently when they are walking over this world. Oh, wretched man that I am. For you too. And that is now what is raising so many questions about the truth of what is living within their heart. Whether that is from the Lord, or whether that is something in which I completely deceive myself. They are a riddle. They are a riddle to themselves. How is it possible that such things that are living in my heart can go along with a new life, a new heart, because I thought that new heart would be a different heart, and that there would be nothing of all that is in my heart remaining left. That is the riddle. And where is the solution to this riddle? That is found in the soul suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is my soul troubled. Thus there is an imputation by the judge of that soul suffering onto the account of his people. They cannot see that unless the Lord shows it to them. But it is still received. How? It is received only by faith. Do you know what David says? He says, I flee unto thee to hide me. I flee unto thee to hide me. That is the only solution for that people. Where did Christian learn that? He learned that at the wicked gate. For the first time. Did you ever learn that? Did you ever learn that? That is what is necessary to know. All for faith, for that first time. To be going out unto him, that is now Christmas. Oh Christ, born in the stable of my heart. And faith going out unto him. Now is my soul trouble. And what does that trouble consist of? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. In what nature did Christ suffer? Not in his divine nature, but he suffered in his human nature. And what did his human nature do toward that suffering? What did his divine nature do toward that suffering? That upheld him. It upheld him. But it also increased it. Because he knew what was coming. It was foreknowledge. By that divine nature. By which beforehand already his soul did suffer. Is that written that we may pity him? It is not. Why is that written? It is written that we may worship him. It is written that we may fall down before him. Or that we may prostrate ourselves before him. And worship him for all that he has suffered. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. That is, congregation, the culmination of that struggle. That soul struggle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, glorify thy name. Thus, the will of Christ, that is, not just his divine will, but the human will of Christ, has overcome the natural inclinations of his true human nature that did recoil from sufferings as much as you do and as I do. He was not a superhuman person. No, he was a real person. He was a true human being like you and I. And his nature did recoil from all that he saw coming before him. But his human will that was so one with his divine will and with his Father's will. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. That was more to Christ than all that he had to suffer. Oh, he was ready to go through with it. And with his blessed body given to him from his Father, ready to suffer everything for the sake of love. the glory of his Father's name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Thus, that voice from heaven, that is now an answer. It is an answer to the supplication of the Lord Jesus Christ that his Father would glorify his own name. And now the Father is pleased with the supplication of his Son. Is he pleased with your supplication too? James says, if we will ask anything according to his will, he will do it. According to his will. Or there is no peace in the whole world that is to be found like that peace that is won with the will of the Father. That is the only place that man can find comfort and consolation here in this world. And now Christ was full of this. Was full of this. Every step that he had to take upon that way of the cross, toward that cross, his Father's will was living in his heart, so that there was a blessed agreement with that way that that Father would have him to go. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How has the Father glorified his name? Christ has done miracles, and the Father has given him the power to do so. The Father has given his testimony concerning the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But the Father says, I am going to glorify it again. And it is in a special way in what is coming. What is still coming for Christ himself, that the Father says, in this I am going to glorify my name, that is in your suffering, in the soul suffering, and in the suffering of that body which I have given you. That is an unfathomable wonder. Because what is so contrary as suffering and glory? You will say they preclude one another. They do not include one another. But that suffering and that glory of the Lord are intimately bound, are intimately connected in the Son, in the Savior of his church. The Lord Jesus says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. What is he speaking about? Oh, he is speaking about the same thing as the Father is speaking about when he says, and I will glorify it again. He is speaking about that lifting up of that Son of Man. What sacrifice, congregation? What sacrifice greater glorified? The love of God, the Father and the Son, than the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because the apostle speaks about that. He says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the love of God. The love of that mediator, the apostle Paul could not fathom that. Not for other people. That may be understandable, but he couldn't fathom it for himself. For himself. Because he says, I persecuted the church of God. Can you not fathom that? For yourself. The glory of the love of God. I will glorify it again. There do we see grace glorified, greater than in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that even a thief and a murderer, in the very last hours of his life, that it may be declared to him that it is all washed away, even by the lips of that dying lamb. The love of God, the grace of God, where is it greater glorified? The wisdom of God? How that he is able to do so even at the same time as he may maintain the justice of God and the truth of God, that he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, that sacrifice that has paid everything. There is nothing, people of the Lord, there is nothing great or small that is not paid by that suffering of Christ, both in body and in soul. The psalmist sang it, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That is that wonder, and I will glorify it again. For whom is the glory? Not for you. Not for us, not unto us, not unto us. But unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, for whom is the glory? That is for the Father, it is for the Son, and it is for the Holy Ghost. But now the public declaration of that glory, I will glorify it again. The Lord Jesus says that that public declaration of that glory, that is not for his sake. He says that is for your sakes. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Oh, that awful unbelief. And that awful doubt, as if that you had to accomplish the least thing yourself, that may be taken away. And therefore that holy supper of the Lord. And therefore that command that he says, do this in remembrance. Not of ourselves, no. Not of ourselves. Oh, that form, we hope to read it. Oh, to direct our hearts and minds away from ourselves unto that only sacrifice. Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord grant it. The Lord grant it for his glory and for the sake of his people. Amen. The form will now be read for the administration of the Lord's Supper.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also, whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and hath firmly resolved henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His Word and of the Holy Sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with as zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh, yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted this supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now after this manner are we to remember Him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, that He bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, and that He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that He might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon Himself the curse due to us, that He might fill us with His blessings, and hath humbled Himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when He cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of Him, and finally, confirmed with His death and shedding of His blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when He said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His last supper, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should observe that you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we, by the same Spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the Holy Apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, and that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul. As thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, and that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is prepared, let us sing from Psalter 313 all the stanzas. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall my offering be? And for all the gracious benefits he has bestowed on me. 1 through 5 of Psalter 313. voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And for the same sakes, the Lord has instituted his holy supper and has commanded that we examine ourselves and that we may now open this table in his name for his church as he has commanded us to do it in remembrance of him. And congregation, then it is necessary and that we are able, of course, to remember him. Naaman was a leprous man. Are you a leprous man? That is in the first place necessary, that we may learn our leprosy, and that needs to be taught to us from above. And then there is the first death, and the first death is to the world. The first death is to sin. And then we are ready to go a long ways. We are ready to do so very many, many things. And just like Naaman was ready to do, in order that he may what? That he may save his life. Because we are not just ready to lose our life, but we need to be brought to lose our life. Now Naaman had to experience another death. And we have spoken of that death. Oh, that was a death to his own way. The way that he would have it to go. He had it all planned out. This will happen and that will happen. And it all had to go overboard. And then it had to be only the Lord's way. And so the Lord had to reveal it unto him. And he experienced his opposition to it, but also his submission under it. Wash and be clean. And then it became suitable for such a leprous man that he was. And that is now a people, and when they may know this, that are commanded to show forth his death till he come. That is not just for an assured church that has already been down, we would say, to the water. No, because the Lord's Supper is to work assurance. But it is necessary that we know something. One sight, for one moment in your life, as a leper, in the end of my way, wash and be clean. And for that to be suitable to my case, a relief to me, a way open. When there is no way, a new way, a living way. Oh, if we may know it, congregation, the table is now open. And then the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. Congregation, there is still place. The psalmist said, My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And why? He said, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, he had seen that power. He had seen that glory, but he could not see it anymore. It was all gone. The sense was gone. The power was gone. But the remembrance congregation was not gone. Oh, have you seen it? Is the power gone? You know what David experienced? That faith is a gift of God. You experienced that too? Do you know what that means? That at first sight was a gift of God. That was a gift of God. When I have seen that power, and when I have seen that glory, and if now we have received that gift of God once, then the Lord desires that he may work that again. And more and more. Do you desire that too? Or do you desire to sit in darkness? Or would you have to see him again and the power of it again? Oh, then he says, do this in remembrance of me. If there are no more, and then this table is closed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Broken. For you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now is the judgment of this world. What is that? It was the judgment of Christ. He was going into judgment. He would stand before his judge. He would stand before his earthly judge. And in that earthly judge, he would be condemned by his heavenly judge. Thus now is the judgment of this world. And then he is referring to his own entrance into judgment. We must be judged too. All of us. Because there are none exempt from that judgment. How will that be when we will have to stand in that great judgment? Because Naaman had yet to go down, and there he had to be uncovered, and he had to stand in his shame and in his guilt before the all-seeing eye of God, when all that leprosy would become open before that God who created him and with whom that he had to do. And now Christ, he is going forward to stand in that place of judgment for his church as a surety for his church. And before he goes, he gives unto them the tokens of his suretyship, that broken bread and that shed blood. Now, he says, shall the prince of this world be cast out. Satan has so much to say, doesn't he? And then he is coming against us with so many accusations that are so true, because he says also sometimes the truth, and yet he does not say the whole truth, but he can close our mouth so that we have nothing to say. And when he is standing in that judgment, and when he is accusing his people in that judgment, and then the mouth of his church goes closed. But Christ says, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You know that in the judgment, there will be no arguing against grace. Against grace. And there will be no arguing with the judge about his good pleasure to accept a substitute, to accept a sacrifice in the place of his people. Satan will be able to say nothing against the judge for this, because that judge says, I am sovereign. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand that is plucked out of the fire? Take the filthy garments from him. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will change thee with change of raiment, new raiment, white raiment. Wash and be clean. Now is the judgment of this world. The world is judged by this, because the world does not want to die, not to sin, not to self, not to our own way. Are we different? No. Because we have fought that death all the way to the end. But the Lord be praised that he was stronger than us, and that he has brought death upon us, that we may see that life that is beyond that grave. And now, is that death done? How was that for Naaman? We see him come up out of that water, and his skin is like the skin of a baby, a little baby. And he was clean. And then the fruits of that cleansing are evident. What does he say? Oh, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Take a blessing from thy servant. One talent, take two. Take them all. You may have everything, because now I have everything that I need. And yet, what does he say? He says, pardon thy servant. Pardon Naaman? What for? What do you need that for? Oh, he says, I need that for every day. I need that for every day. Because when I go into that house of Rimmon, and now he sees his life, he says, I cannot live the way I want to live. Give me a little earth from Israel, because I will bow my knees on that ground. And I will remember ever what the Lord has done. But I cannot do as I want to do. And what does Paul say? He says, I die daily. I die daily. And therefore, the Lord has given this supper, that there may be also a daily refuge, a place to go, to wash and to be clean. Every day again, there is one more death coming. There is one more death coming after it all. All that daily dying to the day of our death, the day when this mortal shall put on immortality and this corruption shall put on incorruption. And then death will be swallowed up in victory. Oh, what a life there will be. What a life that there will be beyond that death. We cannot speak so much about it, but we can only read about it a little bit in his word. We know it in the negative. What is it? Oh, that prince of this world, he is cast out. And he will never come there again. He will never come to accuse again. And the Lord, he has cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. Oh, the Lord give. While we are still yet in this world and in that daily dying, that place of refuge may be fled to every day again. Let us sing from Psalter 284. Second stanza. Good is the Lord and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is his grace to all that humbly seek him, boundless and endless as the heavens above. The second stanza of 284, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, So the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, and that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 250, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to thee, most high accord, to show thy love with morning light and tell thy faithfulness each night. Yea, good it is thy praise to sing and all our sweetest music bring. 250, 1, 2, and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.